Shalom uvracha, everyone. This is Rav Ari Yablak. Wanted to share with you a quick thought as we introduce the idea of Jewish meditation. There is probably not so much written or seen or learned about it regarding the concept of Jewish meditation. You may have heard of the book written by Rav Aryeh Kaplan on the subject, and maybe several articles or things here and there. There's also the famous topic of hitbodedut, of being alone with oneself in nature, in silence, from the world of Hasidus, which is certainly a relative of the idea of Jewish meditation. But I wanted to actually shed light on an interesting source that I found in the Torah and a fascinating parish on it that maybe sheds light and shows us that something called Jewish meditation has a real foundation going as far back as Avram Avinu. A few weeks ago, we read the Parshas Vayera. And the beginning of the Parsha famously describes the scene where Avram Avinu is sitting, the very first pasuk of the Parsha, sitting at the entrance to his home, his tent, as he recovers from his surgery of the Brit Milah. And he is anxiously waiting for visitors, as he was accustomed to hosting passers-by. And on that day, it was very hot, as the pasuk says, "Kachom Hayom." It was an extra hot day, and there were no visitors. And it was at that moment that the pasuk describes "Vayera Elav Hashem," that God appeared to him. And while this seems like a pretty straightforward story, we've probably heard of the Rashi, learned of the Rashi, that explains a little of the background of how God came to be Mevaker the Chola. He came to visit Avram as he was recovering to see how he was doing. Literally, the Midrash says, L'sha'ol b'shlomo, to say hello, to see how he was. And that it was God that intentionally brought the extra heat that day so that Avram would not be burdened with the task of visitors coming. And then we also learn that Avram, upon seeing the visitors, the three angels, he left God, so to speak, to tend to the visitors, and from there we learn Gadol Hachnasas Orchem Mikabel Pnei Ashchina Mikabelas Pnei Ashchina. From that Hachnasas Orchem is such an amazing mitzvah that it's even greater than God being right there in front of you. But all that aside, there is certainly more to discover about this instance. And keep in mind, what is happening directly before God arriving? Avram is simply sitting. That is all the pasuk says. V'hu yoshev petach ha'ol. He's sitting there waiting. And if you think about it, it might sound like the event of Hashem arriving at that moment is quite a surprise. That maybe there was no stimulus for it, that there was no cause for it, that God simply arrived. And the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, tries to address that issue of what exactly was going on, what was the impetus for such a visit, beyond the plain meaning of God simply arriving, and even beyond the Medrash that Rashi discusses of him being doing the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchem. And the Netziv explains that Avraham, what makes this event unique is that typically God appeared to Avraham when he was in the act of prayer. And typically that act of prayer was done in a special tent of prayer that Avraham had, which was not the same tent as his home. It was his, as we know famously, his makom kavua for davening. And it was in that context of spirituality of Avram reaching out to God, it was in that context that God would reach out and communicate back to Avraham, and that makes perfect sense. When man was in the context, in an atmosphere of spirituality, of religious connection, of communication, that is when Hashem would reciprocate. And in this scenario, the Nitziv explains, it was different. Avram was sitting. Avram was not praying. Avram was at his front door. And in those days, when you live in a desert or a wilderness and you have a tent, your front door might not be so pretty. There might not be a doormat. It might just be dirt and some sun. And who knows what it smells like, and who knows what it feels like to be in the front door of a tent. Definitely not the context, the spiritual context that would bring about a revelation of God. And yet, that's exactly what happened. So the Nitziv explains that it was in that moment where Avram was not able to go to his tent of prayer. He was disabled at that moment. He was recovering. Where he was not involved in any other action, because once again, he was recovering, wasn't yet physically fit to do such things. That he was left to just be. That it was an experience that perhaps Avram was not familiar with. Avram being a man of action, whether it was actively beseeching God, davening, as we know in the story of Sodom, of pleading with God, but more famously, the acts of chesed that Avram is famous for, where he's constantly involved in the lives of others, trying to better other people, whether it's spiritually or simply physically, to give them a place to stay, to feed them. And it was probably not a familiar thing for Avraham to be sitting and doing nothing. And then Nitziv explains something remarkable happened. In that moment, Avraham decided to be silent and sit with himself. Some would say maybe in this day and age that he was practicing mindfulness. The Nitziv says the words, Yoshev Bahaviato. He sat with his own presence, with his own existence. The same way one would mentally or spiritually prepare for something ahead. Like the Mishnah in Brachos describes that the Hasidim HaRishonim, they would wait and mentally, spiritually prepare themselves before prayer, but that avoda was silent. It was not active, it was passive. And this was perhaps the first time where Avram tried to experience something spiritual by doing nothing, by simply sitting and being, that being a unique experience for him. And all of a sudden, perhaps to the surprise of Avram, despite having done nothing but be, despite not saying any words of prayer, despite not doing any good act, God appears. And maybe this was a lesson for Avraham. Maybe God orchestrated this scenario to happen to Avraham so that he could teach him something important. That spirituality doesn't only exist while acting, while being involved in something, even the act of speech, of prayer. That God exists even in the act of being, or the lack of action at all. When you simply exist, you can find God, and perhaps you are more susceptible, you are more receptive to God at that moment than in other instances. And Avram needed to be taught that lesson. Avram was a man who by nature was more drawn to activity and to stimulation. Perhaps he needed to be taught in that moment that you also have to appreciate the silence of just sitting and being, and how that can also bring about God's presence. And maybe it helps him understand other people who were not like him, who needed that silence in order to connect to God as opposed to activity. Then we turn to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Toldos, where we read the descriptions of Avram's two grandchildren. Yaakov and Esav. A very fascinating piece of literature to have God himself describe the nature of two human beings. And obviously we're not just talking about who they were, but the people that would come from them, their nature as well. And we hear a very interesting language by Yaakov, one that we are so familiar with and have understood a certain way, and yet maybe we've overlooked something quite interesting. Yaakov is described in the Torah as an Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, a simple, a pure, an innocent man who sits, who dwells in tents. And what is the famous Perush on that that we all know? The Perush is that he would dwell in the tent of Torah, that he would constantly engross himself in Torah learning. A man of Vihigisa Bo Yomam Valayla. And yet, the Torah does not say those words. The Torah does not say an Ish Tam Lomed Torah. The Torah doesn't even say Ish Tam Lomed. Maybe if the Torah was trying to be more subtle, if Hashem was trying to be more subtle and not explicitly say that he was learning Torah, maybe at least say that he was in the act of learning. Maybe even say he was in the act of reading. And that would be enough of an indication of what he was doing with his time, what he involved himself with. And yet, what does Hashem choose to say to symbolize this act of learning Torah, to describe how Yaakov's nature was that of constantly being drawn to spiritual activity, to spiritual matters, that he was a Yoshev Ohalim, that he sat. Sitting being the least amount of activity possible while being awake. How interesting that that would be the phrase used to describe Yaakov, a man who would learn Torah according to Chazal, that this phrase means. And perhaps there's a connection between Avraham being described as V'hu Yoshev Pesach Ohel, and Yaakov, his grandson, being described as an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, yet again someone sitting by the tent. Perhaps the very root, what's so central and fundamental to our connection to God, and perhaps what we overlook all too often, is that at our true essence of who we are, it doesn't require an act. It doesn't even require a word to be said to connect to God. Just by being, just by sitting and being with yourself silently, there is an opportunity to have a spiritual moment, to literally have a revelation. And we all too often consider what we need to be doing. And we all too often get caught up in the sounds and the movements and the activity of our daily life and the ringtones and the notifications and the event reminders that there's really no time to be silent. There's really no opportunity. And perhaps more importantly or more sadly, there's no significance placed on being silent, no meaning to it. So maybe it's time that we return to the simplest form of ourselves, to be an Ish Tam, pure and simple, and to be a Yoshev Ohalim, to sit in a quiet place, to consider existence, to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out, and just be. And what that means is to not consider what's on our mind coming up in the next hours, in the next days and weeks, to to not consider any past mistakes, any worries, to not place judgment on others, on ourselves. This isn't something that we're typically used to doing. But to simply allow ourselves to exist. To think of the prayers that we say in the morning, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. That me, without doing anything, without saying a word, without lifting a finger, I am a pure soul. There is no amount of good or bad deed, there is no amount of speech that can impact one way or the other that pure neshama. That is who I am. And maybe the only way to understand and appreciate and access that thought, that idea, the power of the purity of who we are, of our soul, is to sit and be silent. And listen for it. Listen to the silence of the purity of our soul. May we be zocha like Avraham, and seemingly like Yaakov as well, to periodically, if not constantly the way Yaakov is described, but at least periodically, occasionally, to try and find time to be silent, to find our own personal ohel, whether it's our bedroom, whether it's some other area where we know we can have some peace and quiet, and to take a deep breath in, to take a deep breath out, and consider the unique opportunity we have to be alive, to exist, and to encounter God in the simplest of things, of just sitting and being.